Well, good morning once again, and it's nice to see some new faces, well, not new faces, but people who have not been here for a while. I won't single you out, but oh, thank you so much for coming. And I hope you enjoy lunch today, too, because it's going to be great. All right. Have you ever been lost? I mean, really, have you ever been lost? Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, anybody been lost? All right, I mean, it's not fun, is it? When you're lost, you sort of get scared. And, you know, there was a time where, you know, before cell phones and the internet and satellite, there was no GPS. You know, we had to rely on a map. Chances are the map was wrong or we couldn't read it right. So we got lost. And when you're lost, it's a little scary, especially if you end up in places that you not only don't want to be, but the places themselves are a little scary. Being lost is no fun. I know back in January of 1980, my wife and our kids and I were transferred to Arizona. And we arrived very late at night and it was raining like crazy. We pick up our rental car. We've got to go to this hotel. We leave the Phoenix airport and we go to a part of Phoenix called Tempe. And it's raining like crazy, and it's hard to see, and I'd never been down that road before, and we were going really slowly, and my two-year-old son at the time says, "Hey, Dad, are we lost?" Fortunately, we weren't, but he thought we were, and he was scared. He was scared. You see, sometimes being lost is scary, whether it's lost at sea, which I'm sure must have been really tough for many people, or in the middle of a forest. It makes us all of a sudden very vulnerable when we're lost, right? We're sort of like, wow, all the wonderful things in my life are now at risk. We're vulnerable when we get lost. We get lost in other ways too. We get lost sometimes because things seem to be a little hopeless. We're going through motions, but we just can't get to where we want to go for some reason. We're looking for some kind of hope. And sometimes when the hope or the answer to that hope is given to us, we sort of push it away. Sometimes it's easier, and many people have fallen for it, to seek out philosophy or psychology or the tarot cards or crystals. Right, they keep looking because they're lost. They keep looking for some kind of an answer in their life, and they can't find it. You go down a path, and it seems as you go down that path, the deeper and deeper you get, the more and more you're in despair, and the more you keep on looking because you're lost. You know, there's two types of being lost. There's one which I think is probably the more serious one, is that you're lost and you don't know it. You're lost and you don't know it. Life's okay. You know, I got some money in the bank. My health is not bad. I got a job, family. I got time for entertainment. I can go on the internet, watch TV, go see some sports. Lost? I'm not lost. Life's pretty good. Until tragedy strikes. And then when tragedy strikes, you don't know. You know, what it happened to me, I was a member of a church. I put it aside after 20 years. For different reasons. I won't explain them all. But I do remember one thing. When I first went into that church and I was confronted by the pastor and I was questioning why I should even go to church, he says, "Very simple, you killed Christ." Oops. That sort of resonated with me in a hurry. But then, stupid me, thinking everything was great, 19 years later, I said, "You know what? I know this is a law-abiding church. We have to keep the Sabbath. We have to follow the dietary laws. We have to pay tithes. We have to do all these law-based things." I had missed the whole understanding. I was lost. And so what did I do? I said, well, that's it. I'm just going to put religion on the self. Don't have to pay tithes anymore. Whoopee! I can go to, I don't have to go to sundown Friday night to sundown Saturday night and observe the Sabbath anymore. I can do what I like. Oh, and tithes. Wow, there goes a whole bunch of money that I can keep for myself now. Isn't that fantastic? Life was good, but I was lost. Totally. And Christ reawakened me. He reawakened me 9 years ago, right in the middle of the night. I won't tell you the experience. The one thing that I was at least a little smart to do is I kept the Bible in my bedside table. And I reached out for that Bible and I, in the middle of the night, and I got on my knees and I opened it up and I read two clear passages. And I'm not going to tell you what they are, because that's not part of the message today. The part of the message today is I was lost and I was found. We're lost. You see, sometimes we're lost because we have a problem and we're constantly trying to resolve it, and we've got this feeling inside of us and we just don't know how to resolve the problem because we're not looking in the right place and we're totally lost. I think it's so interesting that Dee Dee explained a little bit about the scripture she read today, because I was going to do some of it as well, and I will. Because at the very end, at the very last verse of Luke 19, verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." So here's little old Zacchaeus. Okay, do you think Zacchaeus was lost? Oh boy, was he ever. You see, Zacchaeus knew he was a sinner. He knew that he was a sinner. He knew so well that he was a sinner that he paid half of what he owed back to the poor. He paid four times back to the people that he had stolen from. He was a sinner. I'd asked Micah and Noah last Sunday, do you know what sin is? Well, one of the sins is being a thief. Another one is lying. Zacchaeus was a thief. He stole tax money. He gave it to the Romans. And he heard that Jesus Christ was in town. And he had heard that Jesus Christ did some amazing things. He healed people. And I'm sure he had heard that did he not only heal people, but he would actually, and the Pharisees didn't like to hear this, but he would say, your sins are forgiven. Oh, wow. So here's little Zacchaeus climbing up the tree, looking down, and there's Jesus Christ. And he's saying, there's a man that I've come to see because I'm lost. And Christ knows this. He knew Zacchaeus' heart. He says, Zacchaeus, I want to go to your house and stay with you now. So he goes and he stays with him. You imagine what the discussion must have been between Zacchaeus and Jesus Christ? Do you think they just said, well, let's have a good meal together and, hey, do you play cards? No. He said, you can be sure that discussion, Jesus Christ knew, here is a sinner who wants to be saved. He wants to be saved so badly that he gave four times as much back to the people he stole from. He gave half of his wealth to the poor, thinking that by doing that, it would give him salvation. It doesn't. You cannot pay your way to salvation. You cannot volunteer your way to salvation. You cannot crawl on your knees up St. Joseph's Oratory for your salvation. There is only one way of gaining salvation. And so anyway, so Jesus realizes, Zacchaeus, you're looking for relief. You're lost. And here I am. And I'm going to allow you to have your sins forgiven, because I came here not to seek and to save the lost. I came to find people like you. Wow. So what happens next? You see, Jesus was in Jericho. His next stop was Bethany and Bethpage. And from there, he would send his disciples to prepare his way into Jerusalem because he was about to be crucified so that Zacchaeus and you and I and everybody else could be saved. I wonder even if Zacchaeus knew or if Jesus Christ told him, I'm on my way to be crucified. Christ had already told his disciples 3 times this was going to happen. I wonder if he had told Zacchaeus. We don't know. You see, Christ came to save the lost. He came to save the lost. And he doesn't want to lose anybody. Back in Luke chapter 15, there is a parable about lost sheep. And he went in front of the tax collectors and the Pharisees, same guys that were there watching him in Jericho. And so he told them this parable. He says, suppose one of you has hired 100 sheep, who has 100 sheep, and you lose one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after that lost sheep until he finds it? See, Christ wants us who are lost to be found. See, those lost sheep were just as valuable to the owner as the other 99. I guess it could have been very easy. Well, I just lost one sheep. I still got 99, so who cares? No, Christ says, I care for all of you. You're all equally of the same value to me. You're all loved. You're all important. So the owner goes out and he searches because he cared, just as Christ cares for each and every one of us. How badly does he care for us? How hard will he try to search? It tells us in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11, 12, and 16, 22. He says, I myself will search for my sheep. I will rescue them from where they have been scattered. I will seek the lost, and bring back the strayed. I'll bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey. The shepherd will not rest. See, the shepherd will not rest. The lost must be found, he says. The lost must be found. So let's go back to Luke chapter 15. And when the shepherd does find the lamb, what happens? He says, when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home. He puts the lamb on his shoulders. What a comfort. You see, today when anybody can go to Christ, if we're feeling lost, if we are thirsty and hungry and confused like that lost lamb would have been, he would lift us up and he'll put us on his shoulders. He'll carry us through our burdens and he will bring us home. You see, he began carrying us on the cross where all our sins were laid on his shoulders. He took the ultimate burden. He took our guilt, he took our sin, and he gave us freedom, and he saved us. You see, this parable is the picture of a loving shepherd who came to save the lost. We sang in Psalm 23, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's our future. That's the gospel message. That's the good news. And then it keeps on going in Luke chapter 15. And it says, and he goes home. So he takes the lamb on his shoulder and he goes home. He says, then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner, one person who repents than over 99 righteous persons. Those are the self-righteous ones who think they can do it on their own, who do not need to repent because they don't want to. He says, there's rejoicing going on in heaven. There's rejoicing goes on in heaven when one person is found who genuinely repents and receives Christ as our Savior. We can put our trust in Him totally and completely. And then everyone rejoices. Yeah. You know who was rejoicing when that sinner received Christ? God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the angels in heaven, and the Holy Spirit. They all rejoiced. There is more rejoicing in heaven. That's what happens. Now, the interesting part is we're sort of focusing on our eternal life and our salvation, but there's something else that happens when that lamb or that sheep is found. From that moment on, just as we've mentioned earlier, actually, interestingly enough, any burden, any problem, anything that you are encountering, you can put on Jesus Christ. He says in Matthew 11, "Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble. You will rest. You will find rest for your souls." Why? Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if you know someone who you believe is lost, who is burdened, who needs to be lifted up and put onto the shoulders of Christ, encourage them. They're not lost. They can be found and Christ will find them, give them rest and take them home. You know, let's praise God for the Good Shepherd, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, Matthew, he also wrote about the same thing. But it's an interesting thing in how he tells the end of the story. He says, "What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for that one who wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he's happier about that one sheep than the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven," this is the interesting part, "in the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish." He's not willing that any of us should be lost. He doesn't want us to perish. He does want us to repent. How was Christ able to do what he did in when he gives us salvation? When he says, "I came to seek and save the lost." He says in John chapter 10, verse 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd. I'm the shepherd of that flock of 100 and thousands, millions. I am your shepherd." The good shepherd does what? He lays down his life for his sheep. That's what he does. Jesus was in Jericho, about to go to Jerusalem. He was about to go and be crucified. And he helped Zacchaeus understand that he was not lost. That he reminds us about being lost and laid down his life so we can no longer be lost, but we can be saved for now and forever. I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, this is one of my favorite hymns, songs of praise. I'm going to play it. Some of you who are a little younger probably know who this person is. Her name is Lauren Daigle, and she talks about rescuing the lost.
You are not hopeless. You have been broken.